good evening, and welcome everyone to Hutton Orbital Live, the big swirly new show that floats in space, somewhere near the Sol system. I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I'm wondering whether the news is swirling clockwise or widdershins this week.
It depends on what way you look at it, I suppose. From the vantage point of the waste pipe, or from whoever flushed us. I'm the apology officer, Mia Harkness.
If you want, I could stick my finger in the plug hole and swirl the news the other way to see whether it changes. I'm Hwang Kier.
Don't you dare. I've just got all the DEX programmed up to work in this direction. I'm on the DEX this evening as head tech, and I'm Colin Allcars.
And I'm Norma Snockers, and my head is spinning.
So, without glancing at the big lights in the sky, it's time for us to check out this week's news headlines. Galnet or not, we get the skinny on the spinny.
Cheeky blighters scroll the walls in viral marketing campaign.
Too Hot, Too Messy swings into fifth week.
Brown Trouser Suppression added to Legless Commanders.
LCU's been playing with big balls again.
I'll be reporting on the latest disaster in Avic.
And I've got updates from the community.
First this evening, unless you've been hiding under a rock somewhere, you've actually probably missed the news that you want to be hiding under a rock somewhere. Goldtwit, Galnet News Digest, and other reputable news outlets, including the Burr Pit, have been reporting strange lights in the sky, coming from the direction of Bernard's Loop. Of course, as space pilots, we're used to strange lights in the sky, whether they're the big burning balls of gas that try to barbecue us when we jump between systems, the incoming plasma accelerator shot from a passing salty pirate, or the alert flare of a set of scavengers calling in backup after a naughty trucker's just given one of their comrades a dose of sleepy night-night zap. However, records indicate that Commander All Crows Are Black might have been the first to notice that a scary, swirly, spinny, starry space thing was headed our way. Initially visible as just a pinpoint of strange colored light in the direction of Bernard's Loop, it, according to canon scientists, is heading vaguely in this direction at the speed of 0.8 light years per hour. What's more, as it got closer and as pilots honed in on its location, the design looked a little familiar. There were, of course, the classic click-littlers who immediately connected the appearance to the recent oafish behavior over in HIP 22460. Thargoids have arms, the star has arms. Thargoids are mysterious, the star is mysterious. Thargoids leave derelict ships in their wake. This object leaves derelict ships in its wake. But that's all circumstantial. Other pilots immediately jumped to the conclusion that after the nargle gromp noise from the misfire at HIP 22460 happened, something out there was paying attention. And that something has woken up. And as the only other something we know of out there are the Guardians, it stands to reason that they heard the commotion and are heading up the stairs shouting, "You two can pack that racket in right now! Or so help me! I'll whack you hard enough that you won't be sitting down for a week!" Did we wake a slumbering Guardian who is most put out that their nap has been interrupted by a rumpus? Of course, the only way of testing this would be for Salvation Mark II, we've already forgotten their name, to provide some backchat and then see whether a slipper-wielding Guardian tans their sorry hide for them. Of course, here at Hutton, we prefer the simpler explanation. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it probably has feathers and swims. And in this case, if you look very closely, the familiarity of the spinny swirly space star bears a very close similarity to a logo you see every week. In fact, multiple times a week. That's right, the Galnet News Digest. It turns out that Commander Wetherspoon and excellent sidekick Beetlejude have launched their latest viral marketing campaign. Using the billions of credits they received in subscriber and advertiser revenue, they commissioned a company to launch the galaxy's biggest billboard and fire it on a trajectory passing through occupied space so that everyone has a chance to see it. As part of their campaign, they've deliberately not claimed responsibility, meaning that more and more pilots are heading out to look at it, which is more than a little cunning. The derelict ships, well, those are clumsy pilots who wanted a closer view and crashed, because, well, you know pilots. The biggest clue has been in your ship's journals, where anyone approaching the giant swirly space logo has had a notification that they're in the presence of a hyperbolic orbiter. As the Galnet News Digest is the only outlet that prides itself in the use of both hyperbole and litotes on a regular basis, we're taking this as proof that we were right. Next week, look for their litotic light show. So, there is nothing to see here apart from a big space logo. Definitely nothing to worry about. In fact, we advise not looking too hard, or in fact going near it at all. The only other advice, make sure you know where that nearest rock is, as if we're wrong, then you might just need to hide from the Stargoids after all.
The Artful Bodger has been at it again. Not content with social messages through the medium of paint, clever commentary on the state of the galaxy through cunningly discarded pizza boxes, and drink cans intended to highlight the decay of society, Bodgers returned to their roots and cracked open the lids of a few cans of that trusty old favourite, the space paint. We're not sure what Salvation Olives are, maybe just a new kind of bar snack, or a rare food that we can send Amelia to go and sample in the future weeks. But that's just one of the messages that has been put out there by the Arty One. The actual identity of AB, as they're known in certain circles, remains a secret, though there have been a series of stunts across the years, including shredding an anaconda midway through its purchase, changing the Karsuki Locus advert so it appears that the locus eat you, which actually might be true, and of course, adjusting spelling on Starport suggesting that we all haul the Emperor. Could it be Beetlejude? Well, her preferred medium isn't the spray can, and to be fair, her art is far more beautiful than that in the walls of stations. Police throughout the galaxy have been on the lookout for this phantom tracker as they've been defacing the walls all over the place. Stop and search operations are ongoing, and there are rumours that the Federation have arrested people carrying crayons, lipstick, sharpies, stencils, and subjected them to intense interrogation. Miss Wilson's geography field trip for Class 3A was interrupted by one particularly imposing police patrol, who carted off little Susan and Jeremy for carrying Miss Wilson's watercolours for her with intent. The parents have been informed, and Mrs. Wilson is currently also under arrest for attacking an officer of the law with her handbag. We are not too sure what led to this outbreak, whether the olives are tasty, why someone is painting pictures of antiquated Thargoids, and exactly which clown thought adding "for the mug" to walls here in the station would be funny, but we are reassured that Thargoids aren't a threat, Salvation isn't selling olives, Aegis is or isn't going to save us all depending on your viewpoint, and of course Hudson was here, wasn't spray painted by anyone representing the Federation.
Now at the end of the fourth week of Too Hot, Too Messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver Hutton mugs and Centauri Megagin to every single station in the galaxy. Commanders blasted their way through the 15,000 mug milestone of the weekend, as tracked by the Marvel, the Oracle, that is the Hutton Helper. other 170 commanders from 64 squadrons are currently taking part, and, of course, Putna blazing away at the head of the squadron leaderboard, romping past 6,000 deliveries. The Paladins are still in second with over 800 muggings. Infinite Dreamer and Distant Vets are both single commander squadrons in the top 10. And this week, we are joined by the Winged Hussars, who dive straight into the leaderboard in 10th. The same shameless overachiever is still leading the charge with 1,250 mugs delivered. However, he's been chased down by Nem, who went through the 1,000 mark earlier today, with Mouse 8287 edging Val Silvana into 4th, a smidge over 700. How do we know all this? It's on the Too Hot Too Messy event page at hot.forthemug.com/hotmess2. At this rate, we'll have delivered a canister of Hutton Mugs and Centauri Megagin to every station in the galaxy by June 3309. Have you noticed that it goes out by a month each week as we discover more and more stations that no one has ever visited, despite them enthusiastically stating, "Welcome back, Commander"? How do I join in the fun, I hear you ask? Well, first you need to give in to your space FOMO and sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, where your mug and gin deliveries will be counted for you by the magic hamsters and their visual basic Zen ringmaster and wheel oiler, no one likes a squeaky wheel, Antarius Fusion. It comes in 3 flavours, Full Fat Helper, Helper Light, and Online Helper. So choose the one that best suits your constitution, download it today, and get out there, become a ginger mugger. Just like hot and coffee, it's all about the grind.
With all the excitement regarding big lights, silly stencils, and a foreboding sense of doom, there is one group of commanders out there in the galaxy that are carrying on serenely, totally oblivious to the sky falling in or something nasty coming to probe them unexpectedly from an unpredictable direction. Yes, Vanilla Horizons commanders have one benefit that everyone else seems to have missed. Their ships are fitted with the kind of safety equipment that makes those bits of carpet gaffer tape to cabinet corners in homes with young kids look like perfectly reasonable precautions. Along with both Hotbox and Hot PS commanders, Horizon shipboard system users are insulated from the worst the galaxy can throw at us. Their ship's ladders point blank refuse to be lowered, as the computer thinks that walking about is a dangerous activity and they're likely to trip over something, twist an ankle, or fall down a nasty ravine. The view screen auto-filters that help you save your retina when staring directly into a sun also appear to have a doom filter. Quite simply, they can't see the big space squirrely, or the Dome of Doom in HIP. As far as they're concerned, they can get out about their business without interruption or worry about that they're about to be turned into a barbecue snack or skewered by a big space spike and scoffed in one by a hungry Thargoid after a big night out. Many commanders see this as a disappointing thing, but we think that being blissfully oblivious to the danger is what makes a proper Hutton trucker tougher. Hackologists are reporting that they've cracked the encoding on at least some of the Obliviator screen, and pilots will very shortly be given the option of turning back on the ability to see incoming trouble. At which point, we believe sales of brown underwear, sedatives, and nerve-calming teas will boom once Horizon's pilots clap their eyes on what really is coming for them.
Canon Interstellar. In a galaxy of hundreds of billions of planets, appear to be obsessed with bashing things together. Stick a bunch of canon scientists in a room with a table full of objects, and one of them is likely to suggest that they smack them together to see how they sound. Or smash. Or what shape dents they leave in the wall. Give them a pair of atoms and a long enough run-up and they'll try and fire up a new sun using nothing more than a lot of effort. Or mushroom clouds. They're known for those. So, when the galaxy does all the smashing for them, they're first on the scene with a camera to go, woo, and see what a mess it makes. Commander LCU No Fool Like One managed to discover a habitable moon containing a settlement that wasn't just due a near miss on a planetary scale, it was directly in line for being scrubbed off the face of a planet, using a passing moon as a giant space loofah. Heading for the planet Rhynadi 8b, he stationed himself over at SOSA Biological Research Center, pointed his camera at the sky, and waited for the inevitable to happen. What actually happened was a flyby of epic proportions as the moon narrowly missed turning LCU into micron-thick human paste, mixed in with mashed biological base, and smeared like MasterChef smoosh and swoosh of pureed canon scientist. We're mostly glad that LCU hasn't been turned into a piece of modern art and that he got some good footage, though we understand that he's a little disappointed he didn't get landed on by a whole moon.
Well, it has been another busy week here in the Situation Room at the Orbital, with several threats appearing on and disappearing from the Master Situation Threat Board panel display. But this week, one system dominates the BDS. More on that story coming up. The strongest of Hutton's systems, only in the sense that it's holding up the rest of the table, is in its regular spot, Barnard's Star. It has slumped to 28, but with four other factions in not-so-civil wars, there's only 15% of influence left on the table to improve matters. The first of these will take until after the weekend to resolve, so leave it until next week before you attempt to improve Hutton's position. The infrastructure failure which was affecting the system last week has been cleared, along with those in Haghole and WISE 0855-0714, and well done to the commanders who assisted in the return of those systems to the normal operation. Misfortune has befallen poor little Avic yet again, not this time just at the hands of Sirius, the insidious mega corporation with whom we're at war again for the seventh time in 3 months, and to whom we are currently losing 2-1. Further, to rub salt in the wounds, last night's blight has left a famine in its wake, so shipping food to the small and medium pads at Bruce Prospect, particularly tin custard, Brussels sprouts, kippers and gooseberry ice cream. Who says they aren't weird in Avic? The outbreak that was cleared from Epsilon Eridani last week merely jumped over a system to infect Epsilon Indy, which has been laid low on 36, shipping meds to any of the large pad stations in our most populous system. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have five systems above 60%, and for some time, one of which isn't Haghole. It's just making me wonder what's going on in Stein 2051. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck or even shoot something this week, you can do it all in Avic. Bring in food supplies and shoot some serious ships on the way out, or ship in meds to Epsilon Indy.
We have three updates of events this week, including Buckyball Magic 8 Ball Championship, race number 7. Does the sun still rise in the east in the east, week 26? And the Nexus Initiative. Links will as always be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Buckyball Magic 8 Ball Championship. Race number 7 starts this Saturday and runs through to the following Sunday. The Mischief Mile is a reboot of 3301's tribute to the Fuel Rats, in which pilots must navigate their way between Tefek and Mirag Tedi via the rat's home system of Fuelum, plus a couple of notable Fuel Rat hotspots, without the aid of either fuel scoop or additional fuel tanks. See the Magic 8 Ball Mischief Mile thread in the events section on the forum for full details. And I'm sure someone will post that into the chat. Does the sun still rise in the east? In the east, week 26. 6 months in and two-thirds of the way to the next waypoint. It is all about here went Pitong last time, so fingers crossed. Talking of fingers, I pulled a finger out and made good time. Don't know whose finger it was, but I'm glad it's gone. I had to get a wiggle on, as I'm pretty sure I'm the one who's clogged up cubicle 3 on the Canon Carrier DSSA Gam 9. Not my fault though, after a diet of conger ale and food cartridges, eating all those biscuits proved too much fibre for my poor digestive system and the plumbing in cubicle 3. My prowess with the Dysonator is becoming such that I'm giving serious thought to changing my name to Joy Erotic Tussock King. I'm sure that will impress the ladies in Vistagenomics, especially as I've gotten my moniker in the Codex again this week for another patch of grass. I know how to party, even 30,000 light years from home. Oh well, until next week, TTFN. Or 7. The Nexus Initiative, after a long break from the Black, has begun preparations to restart their exploration of the galaxy. Carriers Nimrod, Legacy of Dawn and Gary Hogan have begun plans to begin anew and place their permanent outposts back into deep space to aid explorers in their voyages. While no departure date is set in stone, Nexus expects to have their carriers leaving the bubble before the end of the year. Now, I'm sure there are lots more events going on, but if you'd like them publicising on the radio show, we do need you to send us the details, maybe including a photo or two, to #correspondence in the Hutton Orbital Radio Discord.
And there it is.
Just keep pressing that button till something happens.